Go back now to John chapter 15 for just a moment. Let me read a couple of verses of scripture. The Bible said in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and make it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And Jesus said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now look at this. This is this aspect of prayer now. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Let's go on in this series now, Lord, teach us to pray. And I want to look at, I think in the chapter I've got it broken down into five different aspects that I want to look at tonight in the chapter. And the first aspect I want to look at here, the verse, of course, in verse number 7, Jesus said, if. In other words, there's some conditions. It's not name it and claim it, like a lot of people preach, amen. But there's some conditions to be met. And I want us to look at five aspects in prayer that I believe would just be a blessing tonight. First, I want to look at the aspect of fellowship in prayer. You know, it'd be one thing for one of my grandchildren to be in California. I think Brother Jim and Sister Tina are on their way home or about to get back maybe from California. But it'd be one thing for one of my grandchildren to be out there or Colorado or some other state and write to me and say, Papa, I need this. That would be one thing. But I tell you what, it's another thing for one of my grandchildren to be in my lap. Somebody help me tonight. And I believe prayer, what you say, well, preacher, God's way up there. I'm going to tell you something. If you get to know him in prayer, you'll know how close he is. He ain't way off anywhere, amen. And I believe one of the things that God desires from his children is fellowship in prayer. I see a closeness here. If you look in John chapter 15 and verse number 1, as we look at fellowship in prayer, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, what Jesus is talking about is abiding in the vine, that the branch is never going to be far from the vine, and the branch is going to be connected to the vine. And I believe that what the old-timers used to call it was getting hooked up. And according to the Word of God here, Jesus wants us to stay hooked up. He wants us to abide in him. He's not looking for a Sunday morning go-to-meeting Christian or a Sunday evening go-to-meeting Christian. He's looking for 24/7 somebody that'll walk with God and talk with God throughout their life. And there's a closeness that develops. He said, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. This scripture is talking about people that are saved, people that have had their sins forgiven. And because, beloved, listen, you can't have fellowship with the Savior until you first have a relationship with the Savior. You have to be born again, born from above, saved by the grace of God in order to have fellowship with him. You have to be birthed into his family. And so there's a closeness here in that fellowship. The second thing I see here, he said in verse number 2, he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Now I had to study this out because at first, beloved, it can throw you a curveball. But you realize in this day when Jesus is here, just like in today, there were some people that had something on their lips that they didn't have in their heart. They were saying they knew God, but in their heart they really didn't know God. Now remember this. Remember there was a time, the Bible said, after the bread, from that time forth, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. 1 John says it like this, they're not all of us. For had they all been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But because they're not of us, so Jesus is talking here, he's saying there might be some that claim to be a branch, that claim to be hooked up with the vine. But you're going to find out, beloved, that everybody that claims that don't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. And that'll prove itself out in time. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, that's that Christian, that saved man, that saved woman that knows the Lord. The Bible said he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. I see here not only a closeness in this fellowship, but there's a cutting that goes on in this fellowship, or a pruning, if you please. Miss Eve's getting ready to cut her rose bushes way back, getting ready for the winter, and she'll cover them over there, and then you take a fruit tree. It has to be pruned. An apple tree, a pear tree, it has to be pruned. And the whole ideal is that the tree is not wasting its energy in what they call suckers. In other words, there's a branch, there's a limb out there that doesn't have any blooms on it. Amen? And so God said, listen, he doesn't want us wasting our energy as God's people. Not only is there a closeness in this fellowship in prayer, but it's in prayer where God begins to whittle and he begins to cut away those things in our life that are not necessary, those things that are not pleasing unto him. How many believes that tonight? Amen? Now listen, I believe one of the mistakes is that, listen, I'm not being critical tonight, but I believe lots of times there's preachers standing in the pulpit trying to do the cutting that only the Holy Ghost will do. Are you listening to me? Listen, if a person's not interested in praying, they're not going to be interested in being pruned. Amen? And if they're praying people, then they receive preaching. But if they're not praying people, then they reject preaching. And the preacher's wasting his breath trying to prune. Amen? But the Spirit of God will never waste his breath and waste his time. I thank God the children. Brother Aaron, help them learn this song. They call it a kid's song. But it's not really. He's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. You know what that means? That means, beloved, when I need a swift kick, he's got a foot to give me a swift kick. When I need a knife, when I need pruned, amen, he can prune me. Whatever we need tonight, our Father in fellowship and prayer will provide for you and provide for me. There's a closeness. There's a cutting. But then there's a cleanness. Look in verse number 3. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. I'll say this to you tonight. Beloved, you can come out of your prayer closet feeling pretty good. Say amen. You jump in a shower and get the old nasty off of the flesh. But I tell you something right now. You can get in prayer with the Lord and get the old nasty. How many heard what I just said? Get the old nasty off of the spirit. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, on the inside we get messed up. And it takes the Lord Jesus and fellowshipping with him to straighten us out on the inside and clean us up on the inside. There's the aspect of fellowship in prayer. What if this many people, or you know, we had more this morning, but there's a good crowd here tonight. What if this many people were fellowshipping with the same Savior in prayer? Well, what would that do for our fellowship corporately when we get together? Amen. That'd be a blessing. And I believe most of you are. But one of the things God wants us to see, Lord, teach us to pray, because there's an aspect of fellowship in prayer. But then I want you to see this tonight. There's the aspect of fruitfulness in prayer. You know, I believe God wants his children to be fruitful, don't you? Why would you prune on a tree that you didn't want any fruit off of? Or Miss Eve prune on a rose bush that she didn't want any roses off of? Or prune on a mater plant? Y'all know what a mater plant is, don't you? You say that up in Pennsylvania, they don't know what you're talking about. Amen. They say tomato. Amen. But yeah, you prune on a mater plant, amen, because, listen, there's a whole lot going on that plant that's not necessary, and it's just taken away from the maters, amen. But God will prune, and God will help us, the aspect of fruitfulness in prayer. Let me give you something, a couple of things real quickly. Number one, I want you to see the persuasion in fruitfulness. This right here, if you don't get anything else I'm going to say tonight, get this right here. the persuasion in fruitfulness. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Let me help you. Look at verse 4. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, get this, you can do nothing. Let me say this to you tonight. You know who the people that pray are? They're the people that are persuaded that they can't make it, they can't do it, they can't serve him without him. Amen. They can't see their family saved without him. They can't please God without him. They're the ones that are persuaded, beloved, listen, that in the flesh dwelleth no good thing, that we have to have him, and we have to have his presence in our life, and we have to have his presence and his power in our prayer life. The aspect of fruitfulness, I see the persuasion. Are y'all persuaded of that? Are you persuaded that if we get together and have a church service without him, we're spinning our wheels? Amen. Are you persuaded that, listen, you can work, you can live and work and die, and you can have $100 million in the bank, but without him, you'll leave here without him? Are you listening? And the $100 million wouldn't do you a bit of good? Say amen. I believe, listen, we ought to be persuaded tonight that without him, we can do nothing. We ought to be persuaded that he wants us to abide in him, stay close to him. And beloved, prayer is one of the aspects of that, the aspect of fruitfulness in prayer. I want you to look now at the progression in fruitfulness. Look in verse 2. You see in verse number 2 the word fruit. You see the word fruit. And then he said he purgeth it that it might bring forth more fruit. And then in verse number 5, he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then in verse number 8, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So there's a progression. I believe that's just as natural as it can be. You don't get as many pears off of that pear tree when it's little. As it ages, there's more pears. As that apple tree ages, there's more apples. Am I right or am I wrong? And I believe God said, listen, you got saved by the grace of God, there ought to be some fruit. You've been saved 4 or 5 years, there ought to be some more fruit. You've been saved 25 years, there ought to be much fruit in our lives as God's people. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The aspect of fruitfulness in prayer. Beloved, could it be that when there's not much fruit, there's not much abiding, there's not much prayer, there's not much fellowship, when we're not bearing fruit to the glory of God? I tell you something. Listen tonight. The church years ago, I'm not going to name the circles, but you could get in some circles and they'd say, if you're not doing this, you're not doing much, and this and that and the other. And they were, I believe, comparing themselves with themselves when the Word of God said, that's not wise. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe with all of my heart that fruitfulness will come to that individual that will spend time with the Lord in prayer. Then I want you to notice the promise of fruitfulness. Look here with me, if you will, at verse number 7. The Bible said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me just give you something tonight. That's where I think a lot of people get this name it and claim it. Let me give you some verses tonight that I believe will help you with this verse right here. The Bible said in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. People look at that verse and they look at Psalm 37 verse 4, and they look at that like a blank check from God. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me just say something tonight. When we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us, you know what we're going to find? Look at 1 John chapter 4 with me, or chapter 5, just a moment, and verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. How many believes in prayer, a person that's abiding in him, a person that's fellowshipping with him, is not asking for something that's contrary to his will? That's where we delight ourselves also in the Lord. And when we do that, beloved, listen, God said, ask what you will. Amen. I believe actually it's the Spirit of God that's leading us in prayer to what we ought to ask for. Because you and I, apart from him, don't even know how to pray or what we ought to ask for tonight. There's one thing you can ask for always. You can fellowship with God. Somebody tell me tonight, I'm going to see if I can get a response. What's the closest thing to the heart of God? Anybody know? What's the closest thing? If you were going to ask tonight, well, and delight yourself in the Lord, abide in him, you get real close to him, what would be the close? What would be the thing on his heart? What would be the thing on his mind tonight? Who said that? The souls of men. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Jesus was concerned about me before I was ever concerned about him. And that concern, people like my grandfather that went down in that old house with a dirt floor, had him a spot there about that big around, Brother Aaron, it looked like dirt had been polished, was spit because he prayed like he preached. Tears. Where he would weep, Brother Thurman, and cry out to God and ask God to save his grandchildren, ask God to save his boys that were rebellious and his girls that were rebellious. And some of us even poked fun at him down through the years. And I'm telling you, I'm glad I had somebody taking my name to the throne of God, somebody that believed God could do something in my life, amen. Somebody that didn't give up on me because of my appearance and didn't give up on me because of what I was into, that realized I had a soul and that Jesus could change my life. I say tonight, there's a promise in fruitfulness. He said here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There's one thing that we know tonight. Praying for someone to be saved is never outside of the will of God, because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe tonight, little Beckham was here for the first time today, and our grandchildren that are coming, the children that are coming, I'm telling you, it's not too early to start praying for them. That God would send them the light and show them the light. That God, as we preached this morning, would help them to wake up one day. He said, preacher, that's too early. They're conceived in iniquity. It's not too early to start praying. Say amen. And that God would help them to understand their need of a Savior. The aspect of fruitfulness in prayer. Jesus said, abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I believe many pastors and many preachers have burned out along the way, Brother Aaron. And I tell you why. They're trying to do something in themselves. I left here this morning with a heavy heart. Yes, I did, a broken heart. But it ain't the same as it used to be when I first started out. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I've learned to rest. I've learned that it's not in my hands, it's in God's hands. That it don't always happen the way I think it ought to happen and when I think it ought to happen. But I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep believing God. I ain't giving up. It's in him, amen. That's where the power is. That's where the promise is. It's in him. The aspect of fellowship and prayer. Do you know him tonight? Has there ever been a time in your life when you understood and realized, I'm a sinner, and he's the Savior. And this old sinner needs the Savior. Boy, I thank God that time came in my life. But let me just say this to you, though. This old saint needs the Savior, too. We forget that sometimes. Beloved, listen. The Bible talks about the Galatian people. They were trying to, you know, we kind of bragged on the law this morning and the purpose of the law, bring us under conviction, our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Then the Galatian church, Brother Sam, they were trying to go back under the law, going back under the legal system. The Apostle Paul said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who's got you all messed up?" He said, "Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" No, 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 no. Honey, we got saved by faith. We're supposed to get up and walk by faith all the way till we walk through the pearly gates of God. Amen. We're supposed to walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And beloved, I believe, listen, when the disciples said, "Increase our faith," when the disciples said, "Teach us to pray," they walked with Jesus literally on the face of the earth. And I believe they came to a place, Peter, oh, thank God. Peter, he saw what a miserable failure he could make without Him. But thank God, he stood up on the day of Pentecost and he saw that it was a different story with Him. Amen. And working in conjunction with Him. What the Bible say? "Come unto me." Jesus said, "All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Listen to me tonight, I'm not trying to be funny, but you've heard people say, "Oh, it's just so hard to serve the Lord." That don't line up with the Bible. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible said. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." In other words, a yoke was something that would tie two oxen or two mules or two horses together. Now, you can't have one oxen trying to go to that end of the field and the other oxen trying to go to that end of the field. You can't have one oxen trying to turn left and another oxen trying to turn right. You say, what's Jesus saying? Here's what he's saying. Get hooked up with me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Let's go in the same direction. Let's go at the same speed. And when I want us to turn right, let's turn right. And when I want us to turn left, let's turn left. How many understands what I'm saying? He said, that's easy. Just pray. Just talk to me. Just walk with me. Just follow me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like it tonight, don't you? Thank God. Teach us to pray. I can only imagine old Peter. He's out there warming by the fire. They said, you're one of them. Oh, no, no, not me. Oh, I hear your speech. You're one of them. Oh, no, not me. What Jesus tell him? Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. You can say whatever you want to about Peter. But I believe that night when Jesus made eye contact with him, his heart was crushed. And I believe it was really, really, really refreshing when Jesus is out there fishing. You know, they fished all night and they caught nothing. He said, children, have you any meat? No. Professional fishermen, no fish. He said, cast your net on the right side. You remember that? They throwed their net over there. Now they couldn't hardly get it in. It's 137, I believe, fishes. He said, well, preacher, I don't believe you ought to count. Well, Jesus counts. He told us exactly how many fish was in the net. Say amen. I don't believe Brother Steve ought to have said there's 91 people at that meal today. Well, I think it's just all right. God put a whole book in the Bible named Numbers. Say amen. That's all right. If he wanted to feed 5,000, he wanted us to know he fed 5,000, and he couldn't get it exactly right because that was beside the women and the children. So if there was one woman and one child, that means 15,000. If there's one woman and one child for every man, there's probably more than that. Children, not women. Amen. Listen to me tonight. I believe God wants us to abide in Him, fellowship with Him. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us, Lord. We can't do it on our own. We got to have you. How many believes it pleases God? Man, we just been having a little prayer meeting out here. Brother Ralph, I believe it pleases God. Just to look down and see a handful of men that says, you know what, Lord? We can't do it. We don't have the power, but you got the power. We can't change anybody's life, but you can change people's life. Lord, we don't know how to do anything without you. We need you. I believe it pleases God tonight. I believe it pleases the Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. The aspect of fellowship, in real fellowship, there's a closeness, there's a cutting, there's a cleanness. The aspect of fruitfulness in prayer. I'm persuaded tonight that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded tonight that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. My flesh is just as rotten as it was the day God saved me. It has to be kept under. That's what Paul said. I keep under my body. The body don't want to be kept under. The flesh don't want to be kept under. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Walking with God in prayer is a good check on the flesh. A good check and not getting caught up in the things of this world. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. The promise of fruitfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let me ask you something tonight. What do you desire? What do you desire tonight? What do you desire? What do you desire? In your heart, what is it you want to see God do? That's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. What do you desire? Jesus said, if you'll delight yourself in him, abide in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. How many desires to see these people saved that need to be saved? How many desires to see these pews full? I'm not setting you up, but we have an opportunity next Saturday. The Bible said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled.